Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Now, I've been saying this. I have no idea what the why this has taken on the form that it has. I'm not saying he wasn't a bad guy and he didn't do terrible things. I don't argue that at all. But the way in which this has become a political focus is fascinating to me. In the court of public opinion, a whisper can be a verdict. The U.S. Department of Justice reportedly informed Donald Trump that his name appears multiple times in unredacted Epstein-related documents. Now, they did verify that, or they did emphasize, rather, that this was unverified and it was not evidence of wrongdoing. So what does this really mean? To help us untangle the legal implications, we are joined by U.S. Attorney John Day. John, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining
us.
How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. So let's just start with the basics. What does it actually mean legally when someone's name appears in unredacted or classified documents?
Right. Well, in this case, you know, these are thousands and thousands of pages of documents that the federal government has gathered in the Epstein prosecution. But underlying it is the idea that Epstein, I mean, look, here's what is at its heart. So it's the concept that there was a guy who was connected to all the elites in the country, both Democrats and Republicans, people ranging from Bill Clinton to Bill Gates to Donald Trump to Prince Andrew to, you know, anybody who was sort of on the scene in New York during the last 30 years, interacted with Epstein, flew on his plane, went to his island. Actually, where I'm sitting 10 miles down the road was his ranch out here.
Really?
In New Mexico. This it's kind of this hideous. Oh. I've seen pictures of it. I mean, it's just...
I'm glad you clarified that you've seen pictures of it, John.
Yes, that's as close as I got. But,
I was both horrified and impressed at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's I saw the photos, drone photos.
Right. Yeah.
But so the concept is there was this guy who was connected to the elites in the country, and they were doing these horrible things to literally 1,000 female young women victims. Okay, that's the starting place, and so it is the sense of, you know, this evil elite guy, you know, billionaire who had a connection to anybody who was moving through New York or D.C. Or Boston even during this time frame. And so it's the sense of, you know, are the elites being held accountable? Are the people who were friends of his being held accountable? Are the people who were on his plane, on his island, on his ranch, in his townhouse in Manhattan, are they somehow connected to all the evil things that he did? And of course, he dies in prison. The official word is it was a suicide. And now, the last, his associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, right? The British woman was his girlfriend and then his procurer for a lot of these young girls. Mm. Groomer, and so she's doing 20 years in a federal prison, and suddenly the Trump administration is trying to deal with this thing, this resurgence of interest in it, and wonder what is the connection, is there a connection? And we know that Trump was friends with him in the 90s when they were doing the New York social circuit, and the real question is going to be what is there now? The fact that that names are on a list is relatively meaningless because they published his black book of addresses and phone numbers, and it had just everybody he had made contact with. So the fact that there's a list with people's names is relatively meaningless. It's just what those names did, if they did anything beyond being on his phone book.
Well, isn't it Epstein's whole way of behaving was to meet up with as many powerful people as he could have, as he was able to. So it would have been obvious that anybody who was a powerful person at the time, he would have tried to connect with.
Right. Yeah, and that's what he was. His sort of superpower was this ability to, you know, latch on to the people who were prominent, who had money, who were doing things. And I mean, the real question is why you would want to be connected to Epstein. I mean, what was so amazing about him that made people like, you know, the Clintons and Donald Trump and Bill Gates and, you know, all the people who are on his, who are, have already been identified as being associated with him. What was it that drew them to him? That's always the question that I've had, is there's something that he had that these people wanted. Was it flights on private jets? Was it something much more insidious and evil? That's the question. And now you've got, you know, the Trump administration sort of falling all over itself, trying to deal with this, the resurgence of Epstein. And it's got the Trump's MAGA world, the world of his supporters, is in a bit of a turmoil, because there are plenty of them who believe that this is sort of the reaction of what they would call the deep state, right? The internal power structure, yes, that's never gone, yes, away, trying to protect itself. And they're actually turning, some of them are turning on Trump in a way that we haven't seen before because of his supposed connections to Epstein.
So in a high-profile case like this, how do you balance due process with public reaction? Is it normal, for example, for the Department of Justice to inform an individual like Trump about the fact that he's mentioned?
I don't think it's normal, but nothing is normal about this situation. And the fact that he's mentioned, again, I think is meaningless.
Oh, 100%.
So many people who are connected. But what's interesting is what's going on right now in real time, which is Trump's number two at the Department of Justice is actually meeting, spent today meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell in her prison cell, and he's going to spend tomorrow. He's spending hours, tens of hours, interviewing this woman. And the idea is, you know, what is going on? What information does she have? My question is, look, she went to trial and was convicted. And why wasn't this card played back then if it's so, you know, amazing, if it's some sort of super magical a bit of information that she has that involves Trump or doesn't involve Trump? What's going to come of this? So you, in real time, we're seeing the Department of Justice interviewing Maxwell. And the question is she going to get a pardon, a sentence commutation? Mm-hmm. If she's going to say something publicly that's going to either implicate Trump or clear Trump, or, you know, when the number two man in the Justice Department spends that much time interviewing a convicted child sex trafficker. I mean, it's a bizarre turn of events.
How do you think this is going to play out?
I don't know. I'm wondering if as a lawyer, if I were representing her, I'd be wanting obviously to get the best possible deal for my client. I mean, does that mean someone who's looking at 20 years in a federal prison, do you try to get a sentence reduction, a pardon from the president, a commutation where she gets credit for time served and she gets out of prison? So normally these discussions and these negotiations take place in private, and we're seeing the whole thing play out on the public stage.
Very, very interesting. We're going to keep following this story, John Day. Thank you. As always, thanks for staying up late to chat to us. It is 6:58. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning.